Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather for prayer. We thank you for your precious word, and we thank you for prayers in your word, Lord. And so as we look at another one today, Lord, may we receive and may we learn what you would have us to learn. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was reminded this morning of how awesome your prayers were for me on my trip. Because everything just went so beautifully. Now that I'm home, I know. And I didn't pray enough either, apparently.
You got to put the date 2 weeks after you come home.
So I got up extra early this morning. I was going to have plenty of time to get my notes all in order on this great Psalm 9. And I put about between 2 and 3 hours into them. And right at the very end, when I was running out of time, I thought, oh, good, I'm done. And I'm closing my screen down. I had all these screens up, and I hit the button on delete. And I lost it all. There's a way to recover, I think, but I didn't have time. So we have no... So the Lord says, I don't think you need any notes every week. Well, I don't know what he said, but anyway, then. And you know, you don't bring your Bibles anymore, so we're all in a mess here. But anyway, if you pay close attention, I'm sure the Spirit can overcome any of that. But Psalm 9 is a great psalm. It is another one of these psalms where David is in the great dilemma between the righteous and the wicked. And how often during the day are you reminded that we're surrounded by wickedness? In fact, we hear comments every day, it's never been so bad and the world's going crazy and blah, 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 blah. Well, it didn't seem to be much different in David's time. 3,000 plus years ago. So we see, though, what do you do when wickedness is all around? Well, we have a great example of that today in David's writing. And he starts out with, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. So let's begin by just listening. I don't have these words, but you may know it, to praise the Lord, all ye almighty. So when you look around and see the wickedness and the evil all around you, remember David praising the Lord. That's today's message. Well, in Psalm 9, and Psalm 9 and 10 should go together because it's they're two acrostic psalms. They're missing a couple of letters in the alphabet, so it's not a perfect match. But in the Septuagint, Psalms 9 and 10 were given as one psalm. Psalm 9 is basically David's frustration with the wickedness of the enemies of Israel, enemies of God. And Psalm 10 is more inside with the enemies from within Israel. And they're both pretty much the same kind of a psalm. And we have in Psalm 9, I'll just read the first two verses and listen carefully because these are an awesome verses to start a problem. When you've got all kinds of problems, let's say you turn on CNN or whatever you turn on. I'd never turn that on myself, but say you turn on Fox News or whatever you turn on, and all you see 32 things of disaster, right? I mean, everything going wrong, the court decisions going wrong, judges overturning the right things, right laws that are passed. The judges say, no, you can't do that. And it just looks hopeless, right? And then you think, who's on the throne? Who's on the throne? Is the LGBT, JHKH, or whatever it is on the throne? I don't think so. Or all of those naysayers on the throne? I don't think so. But what David says here in the first two verses, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So as we look at that, I will praise you. Who are you praising? Are you praising yourself? I hope not. Are you praising the Lord? It says, I will praise you, O Lord, with what? Half-heartedness? With my whole heart. So that's a pretty good exhortation right there, isn't it? I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in spite of all the stuff that I see around me or that I'm going through. Secondly, I will tell of all your marvelous works. Are you telling the world of his marvelous works, what he has done, what he's done in your life? I will be glad and rejoice in you. Wow. Next time you feel pretty bad, pull out a mirror and look in the mirror and see what your face shows. And then think of this, I will be glad and rejoice in you. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, it really hits me. Not in the surroundings. I'm rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing in him. I'm his child forever and ever and ever. He does not see any sin in me because of what his son has done through the blood. The last thing in verse 2, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So we've done that already this morning, but keep singing praise to him today. Then verses 3 to 5, another little section in here. When my enemies turn back, when my enemies turn back, they shall fail and perish at your presence. Now we got you in here. By the way, you is capital YOU is 19 times in this psalm. I is 6 times. Me is 3 times. So we got a 19-9 ratio here between the Lord and between us. You might compare your prayer sometime and just see how much is me, and how much is you, Lord. But here he's looking at the Lord. They shall fall, the enemy shall fall and perish in your presence, for you have maintained my right and my cause. It doesn't say I have. He says you have. You have sat on the throne. And again, remember that, as we mentioned earlier. Who's on the throne? Who's on the throne? Who's on the throne? You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. That's the Supreme Court right there. The real Supreme Court. Judging in righteousness. The Lord sitting on the throne. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. You know, it just reminds me of Israel. You know, Israel is such a pipsqueak nation in its terms of numbers, right? I mean, it's like not even the size of Los Angeles, really. Well, a little bigger than Los Angeles, but certainly not the size of Southern California or any place else. And yet Israel is there. Where is the mighty Babylonians? Where are the Medes? Where are the Persians? Where are the Assyrians? Where are the Romans? Where are the Nazis? Where are the fascists? Whatever they all are. At one time, these are all making a lot of racket, weren't they? And conquering a lot of the world. We're going to dominate the world. They're all gone. They're all gone. Nothing but a word in history, really. But Israel still remains. And much more than that, our Redeemer and Savior is on the throne reigning, and he will reign forever. And then verse 6, O enemy, destructions are finished forever. Now David is coming right down to what's happening to the wicked ones. And so when you see this great monster, which, what can we do against this monster, so to speak, in the world, whatever that is, whether it's Islam or whatever it is. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities, yes, even their memory has perished, thinking of World War II in a way. But the Lord shall endure forever. This is not our home. We're passing through. This home will not endure forever, and this tent we're in will certainly not endure forever in the tent. But what's inside the tent will endure forever, and it'll endure forever with him because what he has done, right? But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. The next time you pick up whatever you pick up and you see a crooked judge has overturned something, just remember this verse. He shall judge the world in righteousness. Again, that's the Supreme Court, the Supreme of the Supreme Court. And he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. That's us. We have a righteous judge for the wicked. We have a righteous judge for the uprightness, but not in what we have done, but what in his Son has done for us, right? Verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Remember, he set that up originally in the nation of Israel when they went in. Cities of refuge, refuge. He is our refuge. Jesus Christ is our refuge. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. So you can try to find a counselor. You can try to find a brother or sister that you got to get a hold of. But before you do any of that, go to the refuge, which is eternal, which created you, which cares for you, who died for you, who knows the very end of everything and knows all about you. You don't even have to spend a lot of time at all telling him all your troubles, Riley. I mean, if you call me and you say, oh, I got all these troubles, you know, I got to listen to all your troubles, which is all right, I guess. But when you call to the refuge, he already knows all your troubles, right? And you won't be misunderstood ever. But a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. Awesome. You know, that'd be a good bumper sticker, wouldn't it? Those who know the Lord will put their trust in you, right? That'd be great. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. What a promise, another promise. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord? What's your list of reading material? What's your list of entertainment? What's your list of how you spend your idle time? Lord, you have not forsaken those who seek you. And then now we kind of have a repeat of this psalm in a way, in a shorter way. Kind of broken down into these two parts. If you could break this one down, it's a little bit hard for me to break it down, but we kind of start over again now. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who dwell in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. Again, sing and tell, sing and tell, sing and declare. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Isn't that good? I mean, everything in the Word of God is good, isn't it? But he does not forget the cry of the humble. Then he cries out again for himself, and this is a great prayer. Have mercy on me, O Lord. That's always a good prayer, whatever you're in, wherever you are. Have mercy on me, O Lord. And he's going to consider a couple of gates here, asking the Lord, consider my trouble from those who hate me. You, Lord, who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. On the other hand, the nations, Gentiles, have sunk down in the pit which they made. We're talking about the wicked ones. The wicked have sunk down in the pit which they made. Nobody goes to the pit except that they've made it, which they made in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Now your Bible may have Hagioth, or it may have meditation, and then it has Selah. So those are two words nobody can really understand. But what's generally thought is, the first word is usually translated meditation. So in the New King James, it says meditation, period. That's all it is, one word, meditation. But then to the right of that is as Selah, Selah, Selah. So I think it really means, considering the impact of judgment here on the wicked and the righteousness contrasted to that, we're talking about eternal consequences here of sin. We need to meditate on that. And then when we meditate on it, we need to stop and think about it. And even then, after we think about it, Selah really means to pause. Those both could be musical terms, two different musical terms of pausing and pausing, but they're a little bit separate, and the word Hagioth is, I think, only used. We see sometimes in the head of the Psalms, it'll say Hagioth for meditation, but it's very rarely used in the Scriptures. Meditation, Selah. And now he ends the Psalm with a couple of different passages here. Verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. That may not be a real good bumper sticker.
No.
Or it may not be a real good thing to talk on a talk show about. The world doesn't like to hear about hell, do they? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that, listen to this, forget God. Not just the nations that blaspheme him, not just the nations that come against him, but this is for forgetting God. That's strong, isn't it? Seems to me. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And what are nations but composed of people? So the people and the nations are forgetting God. That's the same thing. Verse 18, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. How wonderful. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. We have a God who cares about everyone. And then another request here from David. Arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord. Do not let man prevail, thinking about his enemies. Let the nations, or let the unbelieving people, be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. And I could even insert, instead of nations, I could insert our leaders as well. They're right. Kings and those in authority may know themselves to be but men. Our hope is not in man. Our hope is in the man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the depth of this psalm. We just thank you for your righteousness. We thank you for your justice. And Lord, your judgments, your righteous judgments. And Lord, we have the opportunity now to pray these very things that are all on our minds, Lord. What do we do in the face of a dark and dying world? And we know what it is, but we need to remind ourselves, Lord. We need to rejoice. We need to be glad. We need to be singing praises to you. And we need to be telling the world of all your marvelous works, and especially the work of your salvation, the work, the power of the resurrection, and the victory over death, and the welcomeness that you have to everyone who seeks you. So let us pray now in Jesus' name.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout universe displayed.
Then sings my song, my Savior God's name. I'll praise.
When I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God's name. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
Father, you are great, greatly to be praised. So, Lord, as we leave today, may we have a song in our lips and a desire to tell others of all your marvelous works and to be in prayer, Lord, especially for the lost, Lord. Everyone has a day less than yesterday remaining in these bodies, and so, Lord, as long as we have breath or the lost have breath, may we pray for them. And so, Lord, we thank you for meeting us here this morning and for your faithfulness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.